gentlemen, welcome to Ball Watching. You've got Jake here, Justin to my side, and we are back for a preview of St. Louis City as they get set to take on Austin FC, our favorite, my personal favorite opponent, Justin. I mean, I don't know who else you could favor playing against when you've got 18 goals between us and three matches.
Insane. Yeah. It's been absolutely insane. We thought the games last year were ridiculous, especially the first one. We had the goal by Klaus there with the outside of the foot, and then coming home and having a nice 6-2 dub. We'll get into how we played them so far, but it's been an absolute insane matchup for us with them.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. But we do have some stuff to get into on the show. A couple of rule changes as well, which we'll preview before we get into the content for Austin. But Justin, you got to get us started here today on the five-a-side. I'm curious. I don't have any context here what we're starting with.
Jake, before we get into the five-a-side, I don't know why I just stuttered through that. Shout out Bills. Josh Schertz coming to the Bills. We're going to get whatever you want to call him. You can call him Larry Blurred, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Milk Chamberlain. He's coming with. So I'm excited for the basketball Bills next season. Get some season tickets for that. But moving into the five-a-side, Jake, you know what week it is?
What do you mean? Like the date?
No, just like in general, like in sports, what's going on this week?
Well, the women's tournament wrapped up, men's tournament wrapped up, baseball's in full swing, NHL almost done. I'm trying to think. Battlehawks are playing. Like what's going on? What's different?
The Masters.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, tomorrow.
Oh yeah, you just like the Masters. Well, that's what the five-a-side's about, and the fact that you even recognize that is going to be a scary number for you coming up.
Par three was today, though, right?
Ricky Fowler won the par three, which was nuts. I was not going to ask you that. So okay. That was a little bit too close. All right. Question number one, five quick questions on the Masters. Who has won the most green jackets and how many has that person won?
Jack Nicklaus.
Yep. Bonus point for how many?
I have zero clue. Three.
Six. Tiger was second with five. This stat's pretty nuts too. In 1997, Tiger won his first green jacket when he was just 21 years old. And he won by a record amount of strokes. Like, he beat the field by a certain amount of strokes. How many strokes did he win by? Over. I'll give you over under 9.5.
Under.
12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For reference, Jake, no one has won by more than 5 strokes since he did that in 1997. So we've had 27 Masters, and no one's won by even 5 strokes, and he won by 12.
Wow.
And he was 21 years old.
By the way, just for anyone listening, I know zero, like literally zero about golf.
This is supposed to get, yes. And now you have a little bit of fun facts. You can go tell Will about this when you watch Sunday Golf with him.
Yeah.
So down there, Jake, they have an incredible menu of food. And like to get into the Masters is so prestigious. Do you know what like their main food item is?
Now you're in my lane. It's the pimento cheese sandwich, right?
Yes. Do you know how much it costs? This is just bonus point.
Really affordable, I remember. I want to say it's like $2.
Yeah, $1.50, which is just absurd. That was good. There we go. All right, this one I hope you can get, but it wouldn't put it past you. Masters last year.
Yeah, God.
He kind of looks like you, but he's probably like 3 inches on you and maybe another 100 pounds.
Is it John Rahm?
John Rahm, nice. And then lastly, who is the favorite to win this year? Who's been playing good at golf?
It's not. I'm just trying to think of names.
Boy from Texas.
Well, isn't Spieth from Texas? But I thought isn't he having injury problems with his wrist?
Spieth is going to play, but yeah, it's not him. Other boy from Texas.
It's not Scheffler, is it?
Scotty Scheffler. So, and the most insane thing about this, Jake, with how well he's playing this year, he's plus 450 to win it. That's the shortest odds since Tiger in 2013 when Tiger was plus 350. So he is very heavily favored. But be wary when you bet. His wife's due this week, and he says he will leave the tournament if she goes into labor. Your bet will lose if he leaves, if he plays and then withdraws.
Will he, though? Walk me through this, Justin. I believe that he believes that when he's writing it. But walk me through this. It's Sunday. He's in the final round. And he's about to tee off, and he's got a lead. You think he's just going to up and go?
So I think he kind of just handcuffed himself. I don't think you say that unless you're for sure doing it. So I give it to him. He's a very religious guy. If you watch Full Swing, go watch Full Swing, watch him in it. Reads the Bible every day, very religious. So I think he's going to leave.
I have, and I actually, now that I think back to that, I do believe him when he's saying yeah. that, but I do feel like that is the right answer on paper. A lot of harder to execute.
Yeah, put a poll out there, and it's like, you have the lead at the Masters on Sunday. Are yeah. you leaving? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that was going, Justin.
Pretty well. You did pretty well there.
Yeah, I'd say I acquitted myself. Justin, we got a lot of news today, fortunately, to cover on the show, so we'll crack into it. But just to gloss over the usual kind of standings or the lines in the sand we like to draw here, where we talk about match day, team of the week, we had no inclusions despite Berkey's incredible performance. He actually got skipped over by Mark, or not Mark. I was just about to say Mark Pace, who was a goalkeeper from St. Louis. But what's that guy's name? It's Paas, Martin Paas, I think is his name. And so the Dallas goalkeeper was the starting goalkeeper for the match day team of the week. We dropped from 20 to 22. So, yeah, you're in there, right? We are the seventh worst team according to the MLS power rankings. Who cares? Those are only fun when you're doing well. And we got some good news mixed with some bad news on the injury front today. I would say a net positive for me personally. We got to hear that Nilsson and Leuven are both back in training. And that was really great for me because I actually was pretty worried about Leuven being out for a decent amount of time. And Nilsson, we just knew, was just a cracked rib. You need to give that time to recover. But we knew that he was kind of keeping fit on the side. So getting them both back, both non-committal for this weekend in terms of availability from Carnell. So we'll see. But then sandwiched in the middle of all that, we hear that Yarrow and Blum are both heading out. And Blum out for 2 to 4 weeks with what looks to be a hamstring injury. Man, that this guy's season is slowly slipping away from him. It's not good for the injuries that he's had to undergo so far. Then Yarrow out for 4 more weeks after re-aggravating his hamstring injury. Justin, what's going on out there, man?
I'm really confused by this as well. We talked about it. I do think we got a little lucky last year with injuries. We talked about it in, like, the preview of the season. We got very unlucky with Klaus's injury, but if you think about everybody else, no one was really out for more than like 2 or 3 games in the season. We're seeing guys already miss like 5 or 6 already to kick things off here, or at least going forward from what they have missed or what are coming up to miss that we know of already. It's a little scary. The one thing that it's definitely a positive though, that we're having Nilsson and Leuven coming back. When you think about that trade-off for, I think Durkin can slide in for Blum as he already has. And then, I mean, Nilsson's a straight swap for Yarrow considering he'll start over him. And Jake, you know what I just realized? The MLS putting out these rankings for whatever, we're 22nd. There are 8 teams below us in the seedings. So that would literally put us at 21st. Like, they're literally just like, oh, where do they fall on the total table? Let's power rank them from this early on.
They put a lot of thought into this one. You could tell. They did. I will give the MLS its due. They were overdue for some rule changes and to bring some roster flexibility to a system that is overwhelmingly complex, and I'm not going to pretend to understand the entirety of all the financial bounds within the MLS, but there were 3 new rules brought on after last night's meeting. The MLS Board of Governors met. Fun fact, Justin, Gianni Infantino, the FIFA president, was in attendance for this one. I think maybe just to kind of help push this along, because the FIFA, for all intents and purposes, wants MLS to succeed. Obviously, World Cup's coming here as well. I think there's a side angle, which I'll just briefly touch on right now, is that the MLS is also involved. Or in the United States right now, there is a lawsuit to basically be able to allow professional matches from different leagues to be played in, you know, the U.S. or maybe the U.S. going to different countries. And people have speculated, is this, you know, a Premier League team going to play a match here? Like an actual match, not the Audi Cup friendly BS that we get during the summer, but a real meaningful match. Maybe La Liga comes here, or maybe MLS goes somewhere else and Messi goes to play in Spain. You know what I mean? So there, that's a side thing going on, but the actual real tangible stuff that really impacts us starting in the summer are 3 new rules coming from this group. And the first one, I think, is probably the most important, at least for right now, and that is they've changed how they structure the DPs and U22. So U22 being the U22 initiative players. Both of those being DPs and U22s have a lot of flexibility in how much you can pay these players. But right now, the new rule is that you can have either 3 DPs And by the way, DPs being designated players, you can pay with them whatever they want, you know, whatever you want to pay them as owners. It doesn't count except for against the max on your salary, on your cap. And you can also have three U22 players. Before, it was limited just to one U22 if you had three DPs. Only a couple teams have three DPs signed right now, so we're not in the minority. But for teams like us, you can now have two DPs and four U22 players signed to this initiative, plus another $2 million in general allocation money, which just screams St. Louis to me. Like, we are never going to sign a third DP if this is how it's set up.
Jake, I was looking at it because I have that massive spreadsheet that I made with everybody's salary and how it applies to GAM and TAM. And so it is $651,000 is what it hit. So when, like, Joao for this season getting paid 1.37, I believe when I last saw this is in September of 23, and I haven't updated it since because I hit a roadblock. But his salary hit is only $651,000. Him along with, who else do I have here? Leuven makes 1.3, only $651,000. And then we also look at Berkey, $651,000. It's not just that if you're a DP, but it's also if you're over the max, you can apply that max to those three players and then use the rest of that in GAM and TAM. The one thing I'll ask for people, if anybody knows the additional GAM that we get for being an expansion team for the first year and the second year, my spreadsheet will be complete. Otherwise, I have everything else. I've tracked every other move we made. I made the assumption that for Sam and Dinarian's performance metrics, we lost another $100,000 we had to pay them. For Marcanics, we lost another $75,000 just on the amount that they played towards the end of the season. But I just need to know what we get extra. If someone can find that out and tell me, I need it.
So spark notes on this: greater flexibility in the roster building. It gives teams the opportunity, I feel like, to sign, you know, up to six players of real established / rising talent, looking more at the U22 players. But I think it also lets them kind of pick who they want to be. Do they want to focus on signing these big name talents for DPs, or do they want to spread out the spending more across the middle roster by using that $2 million in GAM, which we will 100% be doing? The other two things that came about from this were contract buyouts. Before even recently, these were only allowed to happen in the off season, and then recently you're able to do one in the in season. And this is just a shift on deadwood, or guys that just didn't really hit the mark for you. Chicago Fire looking at you from the DPs that you've all signed recently. You probably wanted to buy out a couple of those guys and get rid of them, get them off your books. It's been hard to shake your mistakes in the MLS, and now you're allowed to do two per season, per team, to buy out these players, get them off your books, literally just pay them to leave. So that's now happening. And then finally, another change with general allocation money, where now when we sell a player, for teams that were selling one player is really the focus in this one, you could only convert up to about $1.2 million of that transfer fee that you're receiving into GAM to actually apply to your team and buy down contracts like you mentioned with Leuven and with Klaus. We can use, you know, that bring that 1.3 down to the 612 that you mentioned using GAM. So now we can get that up to 3 million. So like for Nico, for example, what was Nico's transfer fee? It was $2 million straight with the four potentially. Let's just treat it as two. We could only convert 1.2 of that to general allocation money, about 1.2. Now we can convert the whole thing into general allocation money and spread it across. So it's looking to make teams do more high quality transfers versus just quantity of transfers. And it gives you more incentive to sell players. I think it's another step for us. Can you become more of a developmental league and look to sell players and become a ground to really trampoline to the next step as well, but get a lot of cool uprising talent, you know, globally.
And all of this, Jake, is honestly to allow teams to have a little bit more flexibility, I'd say, in all of those rules. So, and flexibility in a bad way for some of these guys, and the fact that you're just getting your contract bought out. I mean, you get your cash right away, but it means you're doing absolutely awful. But it does open up more spots on the team and a lot more GAM to come in as well. So, no. Can we use Kroenke settlement money? JT, no, we cannot.
Good JT, question. I love that.
Good
I
love question, that. But we cannot. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We're already 13 minutes in. Austin.
Yeah,
how did we do against them last year? Obviously, first ever game, we won 3-2 down in Austin. You and I were there. Then we came home, won 6-3. That's what we were talking about. We already had 14 goals in two games. Didn't slow down in 2024. We were away at Austin, 2-2 draw. Honestly, when you go back and look at the stats, we dominated. But it was a pretty gutsy performance by the guys to come out of there with the tie. In those probably, I think it was 96 total minutes that we played, we were losing for 77 minutes of them. We went down in the 14th, and we tied it up in the 49th. Then we let one go again in the 51st, and we are down again all the way until Celio had that little half volley 3 minutes into the stoppage time. So I will say that game was one of the best games we've seen Leuven play this season. 1.45 XG plus XA, two shots on goal. He also had the PK in that goal in that game that got us our first goal back in the 49th. You know, he had four chances created, 11 passes into the final third, and did some on the defensive side with six recoveries.
Can't wait to have him back. I don't think it's starting this season, but it's good to meet Austin again. I keep saying this game is the get right game. This game is the get right game, but this is the actual game. That's the get right game for me. Looking at Austin's record this season, they've been on the uptick. I will warn, they are 2-2-3. Those two wins are coming back to back as they lead into this game. They are ahead of us in the West with 9 points, eighth in the West currently. They've only played two games away, though, so it's kind of hard to know what their away form really is. They've been really front-loaded on the home front to start. 11 goals for, 12 against, and key results, they lost at Minnesota to start the season. They drew against us, obviously 2-2. They also drew 2-2 against Philly, which is definitely a decent team for this season as well. And then their most recent was a win coming against San Jose in great comeback fashion, which was incredible to see this team kind of get reignited under the boots of Sebastian Driussi, who did not play in our match.
So that's what you're saying, Jake. They're on a little bit of an uptick, but you look at it in their last two games. First, they lost to Orlando before their last two games. And I believe, if I pull it up right now, Orlando has 5 points through six games. So, and if you look at that, so also in that San Jose game, they were down 2-0. Then they came back and scored three goals in a matter of 6 minutes to go up 3-2. San Jose tied it literally 7 minutes later, and then a Driussi pen to win it in the 90th plus 11. But in the three games that we didn't mention of either us or the games that you already talked about, they played a teams that had just combined 19 points out of 18 games. They have had a very home schedule and a very weak schedule against the guys they're playing against. So and they're still pretty low on the table. Yes, they're higher than us, but overly, I'm not that impressed with this team. And I think they keep leaving the door open.
Yeah. And I feel like just with how last year went, the only way they can go is up, and they have a star in Driussi, which we'll get into in a second. But before we do here, Justin, for anyone listening live, we are going to reward you all for listening live in the moment right now. You need to, wherever you're watching this, if it's X, Instagram, or YouTube, which we're streaming all live to right now, go down and leave us a comment. Justin, what did we say we wanted the comment to be for this one again?
So this is for a $50 gift card to the pitch, because last game we had everybody guess how many goals City was going to score. No one guessed zero, and no one should ever guess zero. I don't even know if we would have gave it away if someone were to guess zero, right? That would have been a tough one. But so since this is for the pitch, we want someone to comment what is their favorite thing about the pitch. And it could be anything that you want. We're going to handpick our favorite one, though, so try to be a little creative.
Absolutely. I love it. So, yes, favorite thing about the pitch, drop it in the comments, the replies, wherever you're watching this live right now, and only live. Anyone watching this after and putting your submission in, not going to count.
We're gonna decide this literally probably right after the word. So you guys probably got another 30 minutes to get a comment in. So I would go ahead and get it done now. Once you comment once, actually the more comments, the better chance you're gonna win. But it's not like a spinning the wheel thing. I just get to read more. Yeah.
No. And shout out to the pitch. Of course, we will be there on a Sunday this time around. I'm looking forward to being there during the daytime. Not often you get to do that, Justin. I know you get to do it. You get to wake up there.
Yeah, every morning I wake up there. But I will say on this Sunday, it's going to be Masters Sunday at the pitch, Jake. It's going to get rowdy. And I actually have to be out of town in a separate city on Monday morning. But I will be driving on Monday morning, not Sunday afternoon.
All right. Well, let's crack into the players to watch on Austin FC. Sebastian Driussi tops the list. We've already teased it a little bit. He did not play in the last game we played against them. He's an Argentinian 28-year-old in the prime of his career. He had a nagging leg injury a lot of last season, but still finished with 11 goals, 5 assists, which is great output for a minimal amount of playing time compared to a lot of his counterparts. He's the fifth highest paid player in the MLS, and he's everything, man. He's a star. He is a number 10 that you dream about. He's got that final product. He's got the shot. He's got exceptional vision, and he was a huge part of why they were able to come back in their last game, and I think a huge reason why this team's on a two-game win streak, and a huge reason why they'll be better than they were last year is because he is a star.
As long as he can stay healthy. Obviously, he started the season injured, and I think that as long as he can stay healthy, which, I mean, we're facing our own injuries here as well, but he is an absolute star. And kind of just below him is Daniel Pereira, He's a 23-year-old Venezuelan center defensive mid, 5'9", 150. Not a big guy. Fourth season with Austin, 0 goals and 8 assists last season, so you can kind of tell that the midfield runs through him. Played in 32 games, starting 29 of them, having the third highest minutes on the team last year. Yes, he only has 0 goals and 0 assists again this year, but I'm still telling you that we need to keep an eye on this guy because they run through him. He is the eighth highest pass completion in the MLS. They're like, he's like their Messi, trying to get the ball and kind of ping it around and get it out off his feet. He's not going to be the guy to finish it or even give the last pass and the assist, but he is the director in the midfield.
He is. He's the maestro. And in the back, they've got a boulder of a man. And Justin, it's not often we call it a center back, but Julio Cascante caught my eye. Did he catch yours?
So the question is, why are we calling out a center back when we talk about this team just giving up so many goals? This guy is 6'1", 165. I think he's more like a 190 from Costa Rica and can win the hell out of balls in the air. He already has 2 goals this season. If you remember, the first one was up against us. He had a nice little glancing flick, and he actually beat Sam Adinran in the air. So we're talking about how big this guy is, and he flicked it to the back post. Nothing Berkey could do, and he is number 5 in aerial duels won in the MLS. So it's not just aerial duels; isn't just like goal kicks where it's a lot easier for the defender to step up and win it when the attacking player is trying to flick it behind. This includes just balls just bouncing around in the midfield, corner kicks, everything. So this guy can get up, and it's going to be tough when we're trying to defend set pieces.
It will be. Finally, it's just some honorable mentions from them. Brad Stuver is a hell of a goalkeeper. He's the number one leader in saves right now this season, and he's second most in goals allowed. So it's kind of hard done by that, but they've been just getting peppered, especially in the first couple games of the season, and he's keeping them in these matches. So I fully expect him to play a role similar to Berkey does for our team, and we've heard that from enemy intel behind enemy lines, which we'll get to in a second here. And then finally, Alexander Ring, who's another central midfielder for them. He's played the full 90s in all 7 games. He's another guy that sits right next to Danny Pereira that you just mentioned and a key cog in their system. They're coached by Josh Wolf. Still, he's entering his fourth season now with Austin FC. I'd say still a little bit on the hot seat considering what happened last year and the start they had this year, but he's at least tried to bring this attacking soccer identity to them and try to institute a style of play that has them all take up very, very specific positions that have very, very specific expectations. And one of the key features that I see in their play is how they like to build up. They're not the best possession team, especially right now with the pieces that they have. They haven't really reinforced much, which is what I can say about Austin in the transfer windows. But they will build up in the back, and they will do that under high pressure. So they will also do that same thing to the opponent. They will definitely institute some level of a higher press, and they have great wide players. They will use the channels on the wide spaces for attacking, progress the ball, be very comfortable, especially around the half field or in their own third point. They do a lot of crosses. And honestly, now that Drewski's back, they just got to find his feet with the ball, and he makes the magic happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if we kind of look into it on more of the trends and storylines with this, just generally for them, we talked about it. They've had so many home games already this season. They've had 5 of their 7 games have been at home. So their 2 only away games were a draw at Seattle and a loss at Orlando. When you look at the table, guys, that is disgusting. That is bad soccer. So that is 0.5 points per match in away games with a -2 goal differential. Their strengths, we already talked about, wide attacking, resilience, and finishing. Offensively, their XG of 0.87 per 90 is 27th out of 29 in the MLS. Average of 1.57 goals for in the game is top 10. So they're not creating a lot of chances, but they are finishing the ones they get.
Yeah, and I would compare it to us, but we weren't even that bad in the XG last year. Right now, we're having the inverse happen, where we had so much luck last year and we outperformed our expected goals. This year, we're actually bound by the opposite. And I think it'll rectify, at least to a certain extent, but they're way out kicking their coverage right now. They're great finishers, though, so you got to tip their caps. You got to tip the cap to them. They're scoring most of their goals for in the second half. In the 46th to 75th minute, they score almost 3/4 of their goals right now. Looking at set pieces, they're above average in XG, so definitely generate chances off set pieces. And they're tied for the 3rd most goals scored from these with 3, which we also have 3. So definitely a set-piece-focused team. I said they like to possess, and they definitely can possess, but the passes they tend to create the most of in terms of proportion compared to other teams are medium and long balls. They're number 3 in long balls. So again, I worry a little bit about our ability to judge these in the air, to make that aerial challenge. And if you're not going to do that, making sure you win that second ball. So I know they will look to do the same and look for, you know, Diego Rubio, who's their center forward up top, to hold those balls for them.
And looking more specifically on their defense, this doesn't look good for them at all either. And that's what I'm saying. This is tough on Stuber, because with 37 saves, he has 7 saves higher than the next highest keeper. And Roman Bricky only has 14 this season. So the man is doing what he can to keep these balls out, because their XGA of 1.64 per 90 is second worst in the MLS. And it's very close to their goals allowed per game of 1.62, which is the fourth worst in the MLS. Their away form of 1.98 XGA is last in the MLS, with giving up only 2 of their 12 goals. But like we said, that's because they've only played 2 away games so far.
Yeah, it is. And they're allowing 50% of those goals. So half those goals are coming in also in the second half, in the 46th to 75th minute. So look for second half fireworks, especially for the first opening half hour. For anyone that looks at the prop bets, at the special bets, I think second half could be something to zero in on. I have not personally actually even looked at that, but I might be tapping into that very soon here. Looking at them from a defensive set piece open play perspective, they allow the 10th most expected goals against from set pieces. That's great news for us, being a dangerous team on those. Open play, they've allowed the most shots in the MLS in open play and expected goals conceded. So a dangerous team, any way you slice it, they can be got at, you know, either way, on the dead balls and in open play. And I think that poses a challenge to us to continue to progress in the way that we have, where we can pose a dangerous threat from set pieces. We can also kick you open on the possession game, apparently, this season, which we're not scoring much off of it, but at least we're generating chances.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jake, I'm pretty proud of you for this next segment, so I'm going to let you take this. Jake has a little behind enemy lines where he got in contact with a different podcast down in Austin, and we're trying to get a little bit of a mix up here for you guys. I know we have a pretty structured outline on how we go about some of these things, but trying to freshen it up and see, is there something that truly only fans in Austin would know that we couldn't really catch on to?
Yeah, shout out to Luis from Som High Austin, a podcast for Austin FC. And he gave me a little bit of intel, Justin. So I'll share with you all that he believes Drewsy is back in red hot form. I totally agree. That Diego Rubio, who I mentioned, and Drewsy kind of link up, is getting to go pretty nicely. They just got Rubio in the offseason. They're starting to play really well off each other, creating chances and be very prolific in front of goal, which we've already talked about. Other than that, I mean, those are the two most dangerous players. Their back line, believe it or not, after conceding 3 to San Jose, they think have been getting better over time. And I believe it. They definitely had a rough start to the season. I don't know how much worse it could get, but they also have a guy like Matt Hedges, a veteran, you know, older player that has a lot of great experience in the squad, you know, kind of manning down the center back line as well. But I'd say defensively, their best player and the one I want to talk about the most is who they called, you know, obviously Brad Stuber, their savior. I don't know how well other teams know him. Obviously, we know him. I know him because I look at goalkeepers, but he keeps us in the games just like Berkey does for you all. Totally agree, Luis. I appreciate the intel. And like Justin said, for you all, as we do these home and aways against all these Western Conference opponents, we're going to try to mix in some behind enemy lines intel from other podcasts, other content creators for those teams, because there are plenty of them. But Justin, keys to the game, you've heard trends and storylines, you've heard key players to watch for. What are you looking for City to do right in this game to give us a good chance to win?
I think we need to get back to our roots, and that is pressing these teams. City is number one in build-up disruption percentage, and number four in what? God dang it, Jake. PPDA, and number three in... I hate these things, and I'm just go ahead and say that we need to get back to it. I don't really understand. I don't care what the stats say or what it is. When we are lightning in a bottle, that's what people, we are energy drink soccer. I have not felt that way about us this year. And I would say, I don't know what it is. If it's a change in style, like the fans are still bringing it. I need these guys to be flying around in this game with respect to each other and where they're going and who's going when, because last thing we can do is give up a first goal there. But I want to see some press out of these guys. Let's do a turnover. Let's try to get a quick turnover, a quick 1-2 pass back of the net. That's the City team that I've missed. We're creating more chances to run and play. You already mentioned that higher XG this year. I just want the turnovers and the goals.
Yeah. So getting to the stats that you mentioned, build up disruption. That's clear. Easy. We disrupt teams trying to build up, but PPDA, passes per defensive action, usually denotes a team that's good at pressing, because the lower that number is, the less you might let that team do a lot of passing before you intervene or try to intercept or make a tackle or make a foul, whatever that might be, PPDA. And then gegenpressing is counter-pressing. So we're number one in buildup disruption, number four in passes per defensive action, and number three in gegenpressing. So teams hate to come up against us because we just make life uncomfortable for them when they're trying to be progressive with the ball. We talked about set pieces already. Austin is number 19 in expected goals against from set pieces. We are number five in set piece shots offensively this season and tie for third in set piece goals. Like I mentioned, this is an area we can hurt them in. Absolutely. And we've hurt other teams already in. This is a kind of an interesting one, Justin. We've talked about a little bit here, but aerial duels. Austin is number 12, and when you look at number of crosses and just kind of crossing metrics in general, but we as a team are number one right now in the league in aerial duels won. I think Nilsson is one of the leaders in that stat specifically. I think for us, this is a game to be very brave, get up, win those challenges, you know, clash heads if you have to. But for anything too, if you're not going to win those, we've seen a couple goals get scored on us recently where it's we lose the first challenge, then we lose the second ball, and they're down our throats a couple seconds later. You've got to either win that challenge or you've got to be first to the second ball and win that. So I think for us, it's going to be about us trying to maintain possession in those spaces and be able to really make it hard for Austin to have any sort of presence up top.
Yeah, I would say we have a pretty big team. It's not surprising to me that we have this. I mean, it is surprising that we're first in the MLS on it. But when you think about like Sam Adeniran, Joao Klaus, when Yaro's in and they say Tim Parker, Nilsson, all these boys are getting up and winning balls. The one thing that you talked about, the second ball is just as important as the first. So you don't have guys like Markanic, Toitland, Duyer. These guys aren't going up to win head balls, but where's that ball going after? And can they get speedy to it and get on it and make sure there's not a counterattack happening? That's going to be very hard and something that we need to look at here, because if it does fall, it's going to fall to Drewsy. And we need to man mark him, close him down quickly. Don't let him get into a ton of space and start running downhill at us. I think that's a perfect example of the ones we talked about around half field. If you feel like you're about to get beat, take the foul, take the yellow, bring him down, try to win the ball. Maybe he'll sneak away with one, but don't let him run at our back line wide open.
Another thing that I've seen recently, Justin, in watching European soccer is, and maybe this is definitely isn't just there, but I'm seeing a lot of good coaches and good tacticians use rotational fouling. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So for anyone that hasn't heard of that, basically being smart enough to foul some of the same players with different players on your team to avoid the buildup of enough fouls to allude to a yellow card. I think this is what you got to do to Drewsy. He's definitely a mental player. If you can get under his skin and frustrate him and make him feel like things are going against him, for me, if you nullify Drewsy or just minimize or suppress him a little bit, I think you've done the hardest part against Austin. So I think that's a key to the game for me.
When you mentioned yellow cards, I don't see how we're doing. Dang, Tolan's got four. Durkin three, Parker three. Everybody else we don't really have to worry about because they're not even close to that five yet. The goal for me, Jake, I mentioned it earlier, score first. Sunday afternoon, sun is shining, 80 degrees Sunday. Place is going to be absolutely packed, for sure sold out. We're going to have a lot of families, a lot of friends at the game. Score first and let City Park get loud during the day. We cannot let them take the air out of our sails early on, and definitely not in the first half. I would love for us to get a goal in the first, 30 minutes. I think we could really blow this game wide open if that happens.
My goal is the Klaus goal. You hate it when his mother cries, when he's not on the score sheet, when he's not scoring. You got to get this man going. I know he has a PK under his belt. Got to get that open play goal. I really feel like it's something that's just bubbling and bubbling and bubbling, and once you take that top off, it's going to flow for him. I just think we've got to just – I don't care if someone beats the goalie in 1v1 and just waits for him on the goal line just for him to toe poke it over. Just get this man the goal, and that confidence will mean the world, and it will carry us.
Dude, the only thing I hate, though, is when we look at the books. I know we're ahead of betting right now, but Joao Klaus, him to score a goal is plus 125. The man has one goal in the season, yeah, and it's a PK. That's a disgusting number. I'm sorry, but I mean, if you're going to do it, like, take it with the money line and boost that up.
Yeah, he's currently allergic to the goal. So that I don't know what they're thinking there. But you know what I'm thinking, Justin? About the Hoffman brothers starting 11. you know, I think about Hoffman Brothers a lot and what they can do for me as a homeowner and what they can do for you as listeners of the show. We are so grateful to have Hoffman Brothers on board for this year as our presenting sponsor. I've already mentioned they're going to be here very soon. I had to shift around some things. They'll actually be out here in May to take a look, early May, to take a look at both my AC units, make sure I'm primed and ready before the humidity just starts to creep in and it starts to get a little condensation up in here on the windows. Got to be ready. Hoffman Brothers will get me ready. They will get you ready. Make sure that they are in your corner and you give them a call if you need any sort of home owning needs at 314-664-3011. I talked to them on the phone the other day. Wonderful people too. Just very, very St. Louis, Midwestern, great mannered people. So I encourage you all to give them a call if you need any sort of home needs.
Or go to HoffmanBrothers.com, HoffmanBros, BROS.com. People need it. I know we're talking about it already. I can't wait for the people to be like, wow, I wish I would have listened sooner. It's 56 degrees outside. It's going to be 84 on Sunday. Your AC and your heat are being flipped on and off. I literally got a heater at my feet right now. But on Sunday, I'm going to be sweating in a t-shirt and shorts at the game. Don't wait for something to go wrong. Be proactive. Call Hoffman Bros.
Justin, starting 11, Berkey and Nett. Who's your back four?
I'm going to go with Mr. Duhier on the left, and then I'm going to go with Parker. I'm going to lean Nelson as well. I do think that he's going to be back at what you're kind of talking about in the green screen room. And then I'm also going to go Totland on the right. But I do think Nelson is finally going to be healthy with that rib. I will say that's not something to mess with, especially like as a defender, taking elbows, balls to the rib. So you just got to make sure that he is fully healthy because one setback could be another 2 or 3 weeks. So I really hope if he goes, he's fully there.
Fully endorse that. I think Duhier deserves a start. Give him a go. And I think if Nelson isn't good enough to go, I don't have any big worries about Hebert coming into play there now that Yarrow's gone, especially. So moving up into the midfield, we're going 4-2-3-1, I believe, on this formation. The two, I think you keep it the same as last game with Durkin and Ostrock maintaining. Now that Blum is out of the picture, Leuven is back in the picture, but I don't think he's fit in terms of either injury, been away with for some personal reasons. I doubt he was training or keeping totally match fit, which is hard to do anyway. So I'm not expecting him to start in this match. So Dirk and Ostrock on the two kind of holding. I know Ostrock gets a more freedom, but my front three right behind Klaus, obviously I'm starting Klaus, is Celio, Endy, and Alm. What do you think?
I like that as well. And going back to the two, I do think that Leuven could be coming on in like an earlier role, like to see around the 60th, maybe not wait to the 65th, 70th, like Carnell usually does, depending on how the game's going. I mean, don't shove him in there if we don't need to, but I could see him wanting us wanting to throw him in there. And then honestly, Jake, I appreciate as well having Celio, Endy, and Alm with Klaus in front of them. And I would love to see AZ come in off the bench and absolutely kill it. Because I do not think that he has been there. We talked about it. I think everybody has not been there as a starter. I'd like to see him get back to his grassroots and come in and be a spark plug, that energizer bunny, and just fly around and maybe set up Klaus for that goal that you're talking about.
Yeah, and shout out to Tactics with Michael, by the way. A great account, great follow if you all want to look at some City tactics. I know we're trying to get a little bit more into that as well. But what Alm and Celio do for Klaus, for me, is so special. Where they just stretch the field a little bit more and allow him to belong more in the areas that he should be in. We saw him in the early part of the season dropping deep, deep for the ball, playing way, 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 way away from where you want your striker to be positioned, especially a guy that looks like Klaus. You want him in and around the 18 and definitely in the 18 for sure. So I think when you're starting true wingers like Celio, who can stretch on a long run, can also beat guys 1-on-1v1, and Alm that likes the ball over the top, that likes to look for those and get on the shoulder of the last defender. These guys are going to make Klaus so much better. And I think Endy sitting behind can be good. We saw him succeed in that role last year, at least for some stretch before AZ really came about. And by the way, obviously no AZ in the starting 11 here. I love the idea of seeing him pop off the bench. Throw him and Sam Adeniran in there for a little bit of spark, depending on game state, of course, but those two have great chemistry, great energy. That is a very, very scary scenario for those two to come off the bench.
As you just said that, imagine if you're Austin and you're down like 1-0, and then you look to your left and you do that LeBron thing when Kawhi's come back in free throw line, like shaking his head, and it's Leuven, AZ, and Sam Adeniran. I think you just walk off the field. I don't really know what you would do at that point. We got to find that LeBron video. You've seen that. It's like Kawhi's like second year out of college and it's a playoff. LeBron looks over. He's like breathing real hard. He's like, oh, I can't do this again. But I'm going to give a shout out again to Mike here. I just put it in our chats. It's at Chat City Tactics. And that's Tactics with Michael. Michael's Washmo boy. Go Borgia Knights. Support this guy. He's been doing great work, especially on Mondays after our Sunday games. He's going to be doing – or sorry, he does it Mondays even after our Saturday games. We'll see if he sticks with a Monday this week with it being an afternoon. Sometimes he slides into Tuesdays, but his tactics and the amount of work that he puts in on that Twitter account is insane.
It's great. No, it's really great. So shout out to him. Justin, predictions and Grahammers for us. By the way, the betting lines for anyone interested, City is sitting at -145. Austin is at +340. Draws at +275. The over-under is set at 2.5. Over at -175. Under at +135. I mean, that's going to fly over. So I'm not going to spoil my own Grahammer yet, but I'm thinking this is a dub, obviously. This needs to be a dub, in my opinion. I mean, we're going to Sporting next weekend, and Sporting hasn't been killing it either. But the more and more that we keep dropping these games against very winnable teams, the more and more I get worried. I'm not doomsdaying this team, of course, but this is an easier stretch of our schedule that we've not fared too well on. So I think this has got to be 3 points expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is why, Jake, unfortunately, if I wanted to take our just over 1.5 for City team goals at home, I think last time I saw it, -180. So I'm not taking that because everything we try to do is at least better than -150. So I'm parlaying that with City money line for -105. And I will say, Jake, we've talked about this before. If everybody's listening to this, these lines continue to drop. Jake and I filled this doc out last night, and this morning, -145 was money line. Now it's -155. And when I originally looked at us to score two goals, it was -170. Now it's -180. MLS tends to shift heavily towards those home teams. So if you're going to bet, get your bets in now, because it's only going to be worse considering we're on a Sunday afternoon, not a Saturday night.
So just to recap it, I'm predicting a 3-1 W, Justin on a 2-1 W. Your Grahammer, Justin, is City money line parlayed with team total over 1.5 for City. Mine is both teams to score and the over 2.5 at -125. So both of us have goals. We need goals. Sunday, you know there's going to be fireworks, man. It's a day game. It'll be hopefully pretty nice weather. Everyone will be ready to get up for. Austin needs to continue this streak. We need to get back on track. Both teams need 3 points like they need air, man. So we just need it a little bit more. We got to play like it.
And they need 3 points like I need Soul Juice. Go to souljuice.com using code BALLWATCHING, 20% off. If you're going to get it at your Costco, we talked about this last episode. I'm going to keep pushing it. Ask them. If you don't see it at your local Costco, go ask them and say, hey, where's Soul Juice? Luis has already put a bug in their ear, and they're trying to get in to all their Costcos. But go to Sam's, Deerberg, Straub, Schnucks, anywhere you get your local groceries and get some more Soul Juice.
Amen, Justin. Well, I'm looking forward to this game. I look forward to every game, of course, but Austin has just brought so much fun. And I still think that the game you and I were at, the away match, the first ever match, yes, it was the first ever match for us, but still, the memories and the feeling that that game gave me is the beginning of this fandom, the beginning of this experience. And if we can just harken back to those, that day and that experience, we have most of the same players still on the field. You know, I just want everyone to dig deep and remember what that felt like. And let's bring that out against Austin and right the ship, because we need to. And this is a good team to do it against. We have such a fun history and 18 goals and counting. What do you think? I mean, we could easily be obviously broaching the 20 line in four matches, which is absurd. But I think this has become one of my favorite rivalry matchups we've already had.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about it not only being the first ever game, but that was basically a goal, the buzzer beater. Also, Stroud scoring against his old team, sorry, Kip. And then also, like you said, the amount of goals that have been happening in this, it's just been exciting. And they have high-power offense, so do we. We have better defense and a better goalkeeper. We need to score first, and we need to let City Park erupt on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Pedal to the metal. We are going to be rolling into Sunday hot. So, everyone, hopefully you have a great rest of your week. And we'll see y'all at the pitch on Sunday afternoon for some cocktails, some beverages, maybe a couple snacks here and there from the lovely staff at the pitch. If you all want to stop by, definitely come by and say hi. We will be there for sure. Thank you all for tuning in today. We will catch you for the recap, maybe live after on Sunday. We'll see how we feel after that match. But definitely we'll catch you live for a recap at some point, either Sunday or Monday. But catch us the pitch for the actual live in-person experience. So that is all we have for you today. Thank you all again for listening. This is Ball Watching, and we are all for City.
All for City.